Talk Radio.
Ooh. So the song says, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, 'cause yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all says, and bodies are still being raised. Woo! Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need a move. Woo! We need a move. Can you shout that out? We need a move. We need a move. Yeah. We need a move. And bodies are still being raised. Hey! Giants are still.
Hallelujah.
We give honor to the Lord our God tonight. We thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy, his compassion. We thank God for his favor tonight. We honor the Lord our God, for he is alone our God. We give honor to him, and we give glory to his holy and righteous name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God for each and every person under the sound of my voice, and we thank God for all of you and your testimonies and what will be written about you, even in your time and what you have done for the Lord. I believe that we are all an open book, and we will be written about as far as what we have accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ and what we stand on and what we believe in. I thank God for all of you. So tonight, you know, I just want you to, I wish that I could just sit with you tonight and just love on you and talk to you, but we have some work to do. So let's get ready to do that. We are getting ready for another service. I don't even know where we're going because there's so many things that I want to share with you, and we only have such a limited amount of time. So, you know, just keep us in prayer tonight as we are working and we are taking a break to spend some time with the people of God tonight. So let's get ready in prayer as we go before the Lord our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for being our Lord, our Savior, our Father, our shield, our rock, our strength, and our holy Redeemer, our God. We thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you that you are our provider. We thank you that you're our healer. We thank you that you are our way maker. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you cause us to tread on serpents. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've caused us, oh God, to just triumph over our enemies as more than conquerors. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you be with us on tonight, that you lead us into your word, that you guide us, give us strength, oh God, to do what you called us to do. God, we give you glory tonight, and we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would strengthen your people for the purpose, strengthen them for the cause, give them grace and favor, oh God, that they might be able to sit under the mantle of the Holy Ghost tonight, and that you would teach your people your will, your way, and your instructions. Only you matter, God, and we ask you to just have your way with this, your children, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that you're working all things out together for our good. We thank you, Lord, for giving us mercy, teaching us the truth, dear God. Oh, God, we ask you that we just want you more of the truth, more of the bread of life, more of the word that penetrates down to the marrow and the bone. God, give us what we need tonight, oh, God, that we might make it into the kingdom of God. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So tonight we honor the Lord tonight, and we are getting ready. We are going to ask you to go ahead and share the Faith Ambassadors with someone. Let them know that we are on the line. Let them know that we are about to begin, and let them know that they can be a part of history. They can be a part of what the Lord does to change generations of their lives. We ask you tonight that you would let your friends know that we are on the line and that God is going to use us any way he wants to. And I certainly don't know how. I certainly never do. But I thank God that I get letters and emails from around the world telling me that the Lord has shown mercy to them by giving them the truth. You know, on your broadcast, this is the American side of what we do. Tonight at 1 o'clock this morning, I'll be back on another broadcast. We do sometimes two or three broadcasts per day, you know, so and sometimes 10 broadcasts per week, you know, so you all are favorite of the Lord that God would even take a time out with any of us, but, you know, that you're able to get access to the Word of God. One thing about a prophetic word, there are times when the Lord is speaking, and there are times when the Lord will be quiet, and the Holy Spirit will require, if he's quiet, I'm quiet. You know, so if you don't hear from me, it's not because I don't want to be here. It is only because I haven't been instructed to be here. So hold it as a privilege that the Holy Ghost is speaking to you tonight. So call your friends, let them know that we're on the line. You'll have a few moments to do that. And we'll go and with the question of the day in just a few minutes. God bless you. Looking forward to meeting
you. Help me just welcome this great worshiper by the name of Jacqueline Carr.
Against my will, yeah. you're telling me yes. You want to lift up your voice and tell the Lord yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Somebody tell them yes.
Amen, amen. I was allowing Tony that he was really enjoying that, and I was enjoying it also. So the question of the week, the boy got so wrapped up, he didn't even give me the question like he was supposed to. So let's see what he put in here. Okay, I got it. Amen. Amen. I love all of you, and I thank God for all of you, and I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God that he has made me independent, and he has given me no calls to be bribed or to be used or to be misrepresented for what he has spoken to the people of God. I have no compromise that I have anything to lose. All I have is to gain believers and to gain those who stand in the name of the Lord Jesus, those who are serious about being sanctified. I thank God for you. The question is, Apostle Carter, first off, I wanted you to know that we watch and listen to everything you put out. Whatever has caused you to go so far against Christianity as a science of faith is not acceptable. What I want to know is, if Jesus is not part of the triune God, why did he pray? Who did he pray to, and why would he need to pray if he was the only God? Finally, I want to know why you've left the World Assembly of Pentecost. This is, I don't understand. Let me read it again because this really caught me by surprise. Apostle Carter, first off, I wanted you to know that we watch and listen to everything you put out. Thank you for doing that. That is important. If you are listening and watching me, then you will either go to hell knowing the truth, or you will live in this life saved, delivered, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because you've learned the truth. And your knowledge of the truth will set you and make you free. So the truth will make you free. So if you guys or whoever you are, because you said and you want, that we watch and listen to everything you put out. Whoever your we is, we to you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you, and you are more than welcome to continue to watch and listen to everything that we put out or that I put out. Whatever has caused you to go so far against Christianity as a science of faith is not acceptable. Christianity is not a word that is in the Bible, and the study of Christianity as a science is irrelevant to me. The only thing that's relevant to me is the Word of God, is the infallible Word of God. I, I'm not against or for anything except the truth. If it's not in the Bible, I don't believe that it's right. And I have no compromise with the idea of it. You know, so Christianity is a science. If you're talking about the school of theology or the school of any theory or thought, any kind of thing that you are using to abridge yourself with the scriptures or bring yourself knowledge of the scriptures because the Holy Ghost is not bringing you into a place of knowledge, that is on you. If you really want to know the truth of the Word of God, this is how you do it. Let me help you out, because I've been doing this for about 40 years. So let me help you out. This is how you get close to God. This is how you get close to His Word. You get close to God through prayer. You get close to God through pouring out your heart to Him. You get close to God by purifying yourself of whoever and whatever you have become that is not like God. You get close to God by being revealed by God and being exposed by God and allowing God to come into your life and to cleanse you and to work in your life and to do what is holy and what is godly. As far as coming into a place of knowledge through any man, any theory of thought, that is a catapult to hell. That is dangerous. That is destruction. It's self-destruction because those very men could be teaching you their theories, and their theories could be wrong. You can learn their theories, but that doesn't make their theories right. The Bible teaches us to beware of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I know preachers who are more interested in being called doctor than they are, or reverend. These usurping authority titles, they have accepted these titles more than the titles that the scriptures have allowed them to use, or that the scriptures did not allow them to use. And the reason why that's important is because science teaches that this is okay. And there's always some level of compromise when you begin to deal with the Word of God as a theory, as a science. Now, science is in itself an exact nature based on its authority. So in that sense, the science of the Word of God is plain. When two or more gather together in His name, He's in the midst of them. When a man is going through struggles, God is still there because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That science is appropriate. It's right. It's an understanding, and it's an overstanding, and it is what it is. But the science of that the theologians will use to make psychology, sociology, astrology, and all kinds of other ologies to fit into a theory that is a science of God, you don't know God. That's why it's the theology is a study of God. It's the study of knowing God. And you know God because of what you've been through. You know God because you see how people are. You know God because you see how God delivers people. You know God because, like I was a couple of months ago or last month, whenever this particular miracle happened, when the Lord delivered me in the car accident and delivered me over a swamp. He delivered me over that and into a marsh and within a foot of a tree, and not a single drop of mud was on me. You know, not my car wasn't damaged in the slightest. When they lifted my car up with a crane to get me out of the situation that I was in, they couldn't believe that I had not even touched the swamp. God delivered me over the swamp and brought me over that and put me right in front of a tree and stopped my vehicle. That's science. That's God. God did that. You know, because he chose to do that. It wasn't because I'm good or better. It was because God is gracious and mercy. That's his science, if you want to call it a science. So if there is a science, that's the science I understand. And there's other science you're talking about. Although I speak multiple languages, and although I do understand multiple languages, and although I have been an avid study of scriptures for years, I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot of room to grow, and I'm still humble enough that a child can minister to me, and I'll break forth in a praise in a minute at a child that gives me a word of deliverance. I don't need a doctor to tell me or a Pharisee to tell me anything other than what the Lord has spoken to him. And all I'm looking for is a word from the Holy Ghost. I'm not looking for a word from any great mind of theology. Now, this other thing here, what I want to know is, if Jesus is not a part of the triune God, stop. There is no such thing as a triune God. The Bible never spoke of a triune anything. There is no three-headed God. I believe in one God. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I don't believe in any multiple religions. I don't believe in multiple gods. I don't believe in choice. I don't believe in free will. I don't believe in the theories of any of these people, whether you are Methodist, Pentecostal. All of those are choice religions, and all of those choices are going to go to hell. God did not tell us to have a choice. He said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He didn't give us a power of choice. He never made us a Burger King God. He never gave us a power of a choice that we can drive up and have God any way we want to. It doesn't work like that. God is the way he is. And there is no variable or shadow of turning with him. He is who he is. He is holy. He's always been holy. He's been holy since the beginning, since he created the heavens and the earth. Being holy, he will always be holy. He is holy, and he will remain holy. Everything he does is holy, and that is what he requires of us. That is the only religion that he honors, and that is the only thing that he has said for us to follow. Everything else is based upon what we are comfortable with, or what we have been conformed to, or what we have been raised in, and that in and of itself is against God. And it's the American way. Don't get me wrong. I understand it. I've been a part of it. But that doesn't make it right. There are things that we have to understand. God is not a Calvinist. God is not a Presbyterian. God is not, he's not even Pentecostal. He's not even any of those things. He is only holy, and that is all. And until we get to the place where we are settled in what God has spoken and what God has said, we are in trouble. The Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. The Bible teaches us that our traditions are the only thing that's stronger than the word of God. Our traditions will get us in more trouble than anything. You have to be so careful about all of these traditions, because these traditions are born from men, when some of these men had beautiful intentions, but that doesn't mean that God has allowed us to follow their things and after their folly, after their zeal. Some of them fought and died for the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as a method of getting away from the Catholic Church. I get it. I understand it. They were going in the right direction, and they probably were men of holy standing. So I don't judge those things. What I do judge is today. Today, we are not in that subjectivity where we are in bondage to a school of thought to teach us that if you don't serve the Catholic Church, then you're going to hell and all of these things. That is not a part of what we are subject to. So that is not what we are going to be responsible for. The truth of the matter is most of our churches are cults. They are not for Christ. And you know your church is an occult when your church is a church that is separated from other churches. When your church is not doing what the Bible requires of a church to do, if it's not feeding the poor, if your church is not a mission ministry that goes out specifically with the purpose of evangelizing the Word of God, if your church is not a prayer fortress where people can come and pray and kneel before God. I'm not talking about the members of the church. I'm talking about the people everywhere, because his house shall be a house of prayer for all people. I should be able to go into your church and say, this is God's church, and pray, just like I go into another church around the corner and pray the same way. But the truth of the matter is, you don't even know that church around the corner. The truth of the matter is that you and that church around the corner have opposing beliefs. You don't believe in the same baptism. You don't believe in the same triune, whatever that means. You don't believe in all of these things that are theories. Triune is a theory. Trinity is a theory. All of these things are theories that the Bible does not back up. So we have to stand on what the Bible says and what the Bible says alone. And anything that is theory, we got to be able to get it out of our system. I had an experience a couple of years ago. I was studying on the kingdom of God and teaching on the kingdom of God, and I had been teaching on it, I guess, for a couple of years at that point. And I was into a study in this way, and it came to my knowledge, and I didn't mean this before it didn't happen. And I began to find that morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I began to find all the stuff that I was doing or believing. I came across like 4 things that I was believing and doing because I was raised to believe and do it. And I quit once I realized that this was not God's word, and I could not find the scriptures to back up these things. I couldn't find the scriptures to back up women pastors. I have ordained women as pastors, and I had to repent and remove those authorities from those people who I had learned a lot from. So it wasn't based on my zeal or my pride. It was based on the Word of God and me wanting to go to heaven. So I did what I had to do. I had 4 beautiful pastors that I respected. I've been paying them $50,000 apiece to pastor my churches, and I had to take their salaries away from them. because I learned in the scriptures that that was not so. Even though the opportunity was there for them to do it, Paul said he didn't do it. Peter didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. So I had no leg to stand on to give these men this money, and I had to stop it. And I had to tell these brothers, listen, brother, y'all got to go find y'all jobs, because this is what the Bible has said. It wasn't easy for me, because I wasn't even receiving a salary, and I could have received a $200,000 salary. But because I wanted to always stand on the Word of God and the Word of God only, I never took nothing from the people of God. I never took nothing from the church. I never played with the money. I never touched it. And the reason why is because I've been afraid of God. People are not afraid of God anymore. People are not afraid of God anymore. They don't respect God like they used to. So they do things out of their liberality because God doesn't immediately punish them all the time. There have been times when God does immediately punish people, but then there are often times when he doesn't. So I just had to not come into a place of once I knew better, not to do better. So the idea of a science and the idea of that you're speaking to me about is it means nothing to me. The idea that, okay, this last thing you said, finally, I want to know why you've left the World Assembly of Pentecost. I didn't even know I was a part of that. And when I learned that I was a part of that, and if you're speaking for me as being a member of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, and if that is a member of the World Assembly of Pentecost, I don't know. I didn't know I was a part of that. Thank God I'm not a part of it anymore. I was a member of the General Board of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. I resigned from that ministry because of them taking up compromise on multiple things. And as they began to compromise in a meeting of bishops, I felt the weakness of the ministry and realized that they were making decisions that the Bible had already made. So because the Bible had made these decisions for us, the Bible said that homosexuality is an abomination, and I believe that it should be treated as an abomination, and I didn't believe that we needed to make up any rules for people to operate in ministry that were abominations. So I left the ministry. It wasn't a hard thing to do. I've left other ministries for pretty much the same thing, and I don't tolerate compromise. So this, and again, I've already said that any organization that is not holy, that doesn't teach holy, I didn't say teach holiness. I said teach holy. The Bible speaks of holiness without no man shall see the Lord. And if we are not holy, then we are not going to heaven, period. And that is what I am ascribing to see and to teach and to be responsible for when I stand before the Lord. For representing him as in front of his people is what did he say? I don't have the right to name a church. I don't have the right to do a lot of things. Those are all in God's favor in all of what God says. It's up to him to name his church. It's up to him to name his pastors. It's up to him to name everything that is in his church. And it's up to him whether he uses me or not. I'm simply God's servant, and I am at his mind and his will to do whatever he wants me to do. I have no privilege to make any decisions other than what the Word of God says and other than what the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us get into the Word of God for today. I think that I've taken up a little bit more time than I wanted to. And I want to get into a particular scripture. In the book of, so I have time, is my issue here. Okay. We're going to go to Matthew's chapter number 7. And I want to go to verse number 7. And the Holy Ghost said to do this because someone needs to know his mind as far as your struggle is concerned. He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks him a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Some of you are going through various struggles, various trials, various tribulations. I'm looking at over 5,000 people listening to me right now. And I know that all of us have struggles. And I want you to know tonight that you are not exempt from talking to the Lord our God. I want you to know tonight that God wants to honor you. He wants to bless you. He just wants you to honor him and bless him too. He wants you to do what you are supposed to do. He wants you to know that when you were a child, you spoke as a child, you thought as a child, you understood as a child, but when you became a man, you put away childish things. He wants you to understand that the things that he gives you belong to him, and you are borrowing what he has provided to you. God wants you to understand that if you ask him, you will receive. Somebody on this line tonight, under the sound of my voice or watching me, wherever you are, you are seeking information about your situation. And I want you to understand tonight that the way the Lord wants you to get your information is not from the zeal of your struggles of the past. Yes, God gives you an informative flag that will show you where things that you've seen before, you should flag those things. But there are times and seasons that we go through, struggles that we go through, hardships that we go through, times where we are in the favor of God and we are in a peaceful, restful place. Then there are other times when we are in the what seems like a cold, bitter, alone place. Then there are times when we have many people that are going to stand with you and pray with you, believe with you, go through struggles with you. And there are other times that you're going to have to go through by yourself. There are times that in spite of everything that you do to guard yourself, you are still going to allow those things that you are afraid of to happen. The Bible tells us in the book of Job that the very thing that Job feared came upon him. I want you to understand that some of you are going to go through some things that you don't want to go through. You're going to suffer and go through some fears and some struggle things that are going to manifest in your life. And it does not mean that you are by yourself. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Bible is teaching you here that if you stand in your faith, God is saying, I'm going to stand with you. Does that mean that as a man or a woman of God, that everything is going to be easy and you pray for it bitterly and you're going to get it? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that if you stand believing God and your prayers are centered on him and your trust is in him, he will answer you the way he wants to. If you're a pastor listening to me, and I thank God for all of you pastors listening to me, if you're a pastor and you're praying, I want you to understand that the more you gear your life in humility, this is the thing. This is how we mess up in our prayer life with God. We tend to want from God, but we don't want to do what God wants from us. So many times we're saying, Lord, I want a new house. I want a new church. I want a new car. I want. What the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to want from God because he is your father, and that makes you a king's kid, and you can have what you want from your daddy. If it's right for you, if it's good for you, and if it's going to build for you, because the truth of the matter is some of you are asking for $1 million and you're saying you're going to use it for the Lord. The truth of the matter is God ain't giving it to you. One, because you ain't called to have it. But two, you are not getting $1 million because you leave the Lord. The prodigal son went to his father. He asked his father for his inheritance. He got his inheritance. Once he got his inheritance, he left his father. And some of us today would leave God if we had our way. So I'm here to tell you tonight that you're going to have to live the process. You're going to have to live holy. You're going to have to live a standard. You're going to have to live righteously before God. You're going to have to go through your struggles and your trials, and you're going to have to be the one that when you're done wrong, you don't look wrong. You don't stay wrong. When you've done wrong and you know that you've done wrong and you are being chastened by the Lord, you ought to be thankful because he whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Some of you are upset because you've been caught. You've been caught doing this. You've been caught doing that. Thank God you've been caught. And thank God you ain't got to go through prison for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, like you may deserve. The Lord is teaching us tonight. For all of us who are going through struggles, the world is sick. The world is sick right now. We've got pandemic everywhere in the world. So I want you to understand tonight that if you are going to stand on the standard of God, you are going to have to resist even your own flesh. You're going to have to get to a place where you're going to have to say, Lord, I want to live for you, and I want to die with you. Because I sure don't want to die and go to hell.
No, it's not easy.
Being a Christian, it's not easy. It's not easy being saved. It's not easy living for the Lord. It ain't easy standing on the standard of righteousness. It's not easy. But I can tell you this. It's harder being in the world. It's harder to be a backslider. It's harder to be a hypocrite. It's harder to not walk with God. I want to encourage you all tonight to love your Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, because he loves you the same way. He sent his only son to die for you so that you might live. You might live. No guarantees, because if the righteous are scarcely going to make it, how shall the ungodly and the sinner man appear? You right now are asking in your mind, someone's asking, but what about my grandmother? I loved her so much, and she didn't know. Well, you don't have to worry about your grandmother. What you need to be worried about is you. That's what you need to be concerned about, because we're going to all face that judgment seat by ourselves. Grandma not going to be there. It's going to be you and God. And I want you to get yourself together. I want you to understand that when you pray, your prayer has effective power. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God wants you to understand tonight that as you pray, you need to believe and stand on your belief. Some of you just want to be nosy, and you just want to go through a person's life. But God is saying, I'm not interested in you looking at another man. I'm interested in you making it to heaven. And God is interested in you, believers. Tonight, that's your word. That God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. And the power that worketh within you is holy. It lives holy, thinks holy, walks holy, talks holy. And you ought to be comparing yourself to what is holy. And you ought to be standing on what is holy. And you ought not to let your reverend, who might be one of the nicest guys in the world, take you to hell. Don't let the blind lead you to your destruction. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Doesn't matter what your church is. If God is not the center of that church, and your church is not doing what God spoke for it to do, it is not his church. It is not his church. And I don't know, of all these people under the sound of my voice, what church you go to or what you believe. But I can tell you something. There is only one belief that God will honor. There's only one truth that God will honor. I may meet your pastor and be in love with him. Be thankful. I have met some beautiful people in my travel around the world to preach the gospel. And I'm not saying that all of them are going to hell. A lot of my friends are right here listening to me right now. I'm not saying that they're all going to hell. I don't know. Heaven and hell is not a place for me to put nobody in. But I'm going to teach the truth, and I'm going to require the gospel to be taught in this ministry. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord cause you to reign over your enemies, and that your enemies be your footstool. And may God be glorified. May you be edified, and may the devil be horrified. The Lord bless you.
This song is for everybody that feel you've been skipped over.
God's getting ready to call your name. JP, help me say it.